What did I say about that worship team? Wow. Amazing song selection and Jenny's prayer. I don't have to be perfect here, she said. That should be the slogan out front. That and Pastor Eric F. Jones. You don't have to be perfect here. I love that. Today's message is going to be a little taste of a segue into the Sunday school lesson I'm going to be presenting in a couple of weeks. It's always kind of tough. It's always tough preparing a sermon in this format that the elders are doing with this rotation. I'm not good at a lot of things, but I'm not good at taking a subject and splitting it out over several sermons and then doing it every 3 weeks. I just lose my train of thought too easily. It's not a skill set that I have. So I tend to take something that's going on either in my life or something that happened that week or something I think that pertains to where we are as a church or a community or a society, something national, something political, something international, worldly, just what's going on and little things. Sometimes they're tiny things. Sometimes it's a comment on Facebook, and sometimes it's a world decision that affects us all. And I try to help that pertain to where we are today in Faith Bible and use that as a message. I kind of let the Spirit work that way. And this week was something odd happened on I think it was Monday. I hadn't decided what I was going to speak on at all. I'm still not completely decided on what I'm going to speak on. But I use Facebook because that's where I promote my business, and I use it a lot, and it's a big part of my marketing strategy. It's affordable. It's very effective for what I do when you have geological restraints like me, and I rely on the communities around me to employ me and the kind of things that I do. So I use Facebook a lot, so I'm on there quite a bit, and I share things, and I go live, and I talk about my work, and people come and see it, and then that's how I run my business. It's a big part of what I do. As my local business has grown, and my online business has shrunk. So it's become a big part of how I market myself. So I try to constantly be familiar with what's happening. And I have thousands and thousands of followers. And somebody put on there something, asked a question. And it really kind of, it just hit me. And I thought, you know, nobody likes to talk about this, so I'm going to talk about it. And then come about Saturday night, I'm like, why am I talking about this? Somebody posted, and this was somebody that posts things frequently, and I'm not going to give you their name, mostly because I can't remember right now exactly what their last name was, but somebody posted a question, and they said, can someone explain to me what 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12 mean? Now, you don't have to turn there. You can if you want to. I'm going to go there and read them, but we're going to be jumping around to different places. As soon as you go there, you're going to roll your eyes and think, all right, I need to get out of here. let me get there. 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12. Let me read these for you. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. Amen. I'm going to have the other elders come up and explain what these verses mean. Now, leave your wives there. They're not allowed to speak anyway. Ryan, Don, come on up. No, I'm only kidding. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Nobody likes this, you know, except the guys. Nobody really likes this passage of Scripture. And to be honest, it's a tough one to take because it's in the New Testament. It's within the age of grace. Now, there's a lot of information in Mosaic Law in the Old Testament. When I say Mosaic Law, I'm saying the first four or five books of the Bible. Old Testament Jewish culture, there's a lot of that we don't adapt today. Okay, some of it we still do, but a lot of that's been thrown out with the age of grace. Okay? So, you know, we're not sacrificing animals to God anymore because Christ was the sacrificial lamb. There's a lot of cultural differences. There's a lot of very, very strict conservative Jewish law that we don't adapt to today. So there's a lot in the Old Testament that we just kind of chalk up to culture and pre-Christ, pre-age of grace, okay, old Mosaic law that we can debate and move around. But here's one of these scriptures that talks about, it's in the New Testament. This is Paul's letter to Timothy. Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, in his letter to Timothy says, Paul, I'm in prison, or Timothy, I'm in prison and I'm dying, and here's some advice for you. Don't let women, let me read it again. I don't want to paraphrase. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or exercise authority over man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. This is my wife's favorite passage, by the way. She loves it when I talk about this. You can't speak, can you? So you're not allowed to. I'll hear about it later, but I have a job, so I won't be around. When I saw this thing, I thought, man, this is funny, because nobody likes this one. Nobody likes to talk about this. But really, the answer is kind of quite simple. We all have jobs to do. Some of us, our job is to serve. Some of it's to lead. Some of it's to preach. Some of it's to teach. Some of us have more passive roles. Some of us have more authoritative roles. And why is that so hard for us to accept? What is it about that drives us nuts? So, I'm scanning through. Now, normally, whenever this person posts something and asks a question, whenever anybody asks a question, just a vague question, everybody has an opinion and they jump in. There was nothing. There was one other pastor, the pastor that cuts my hair, Tyrone from Olean. And all he said was, you should read so-and-so's commentary on this. He didn't even give his... So I said, well, I'm going to just kind of take a stab at it. And I said that God's intentions were for the men to be the spiritual leaders of the home. It's partly cultural, but it's also God's plan in the creation of men and women and our roles as husband and wife and who's to be the spiritual leader. It's really quite that simple. And I didn't go with too much depth. I expected to get some pushback, but I didn't. And I want to look at this with you a little bit. So like I said, it's partly cultural. Okay, this is the first century. Okay, women don't have prominent roles like they have in today. There aren't women CEOs of companies. There weren't even CEOs then. But we didn't have women in authoritative roles like we have today. So some of this is cultural. Women didn't have the rights that men had. But some of it goes all the way back to Genesis. If you look at Genesis 1:26... And don't worry, ladies. And by the end of this, you're going to realize you're better than us. You will. You will. Genesis 1, starting in 26. But it says, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over livestock, and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. Now, it goes on to say in Genesis, if you look at the chronology, and we touched on this when I taught my class in apologetics. We talked about the origins of humanity and the creation of everything and us and the world and animals. We went through creation and answers in Genesis. So we touched on that and basically just the study of apologetics and who we are as Christians and where we came from. We kind of did a synopsis of that. But if you look at the chronology of this, God created man. He created Adam. And then he said, you're going to tend the garden. You're going to have dominion over everything here. You're going to name the animals. And then you're going to evaluate the animals to see if one of them is going to be a good mate for you. That's what happened in Genesis. And then he tells Adam, he says, you can't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden. Do you realize Eve wasn't even there? When God first said that, he said it to Adam, not Eve. Those little children's books you read when God speaks to Adam and Eve and they're standing and the leaves are obstructing their genitals because you're not allowed to show that in children's books. When that happened, Eve wasn't there. The instruction came from God first to Adam. So He created Adam. He gave him dominion over the earth. He said, do this, do this, tend the garden. You're in control of this. It's a perfect, sinless place. You're in charge of the plants and the animals. You're going to name the animals. That's your job. And then we're going to bring the animals to you, and you're going to look through these animals and decide if one of them could be a good helpmate for you. And there wasn't one. So God said, you know what? I can do better than this. Right? And He put Adam to sleep, and He took his rib, and He created woman, which is another human in the likeness of mankind, and gave that woman to Adam. It says, God made a suitable mate and a helper fit for him. A helper fit for him. Fit. I love that word. We fit together, husbands and wives. We fit together physically, emotionally, psychologically, culturally. That's how God made us. These are our roles. Alistair Begg, a guy I admire very much, he said, we were at a conference once, and this young pastor stood up and he said, what do you think about young men that are single being in the ministry? And Alistair Begg said, it's a bad idea. I wasn't really expecting that. And he basically said, you need a wife for no other reason than to keep you humble. I love that answer, because man, does my wife keep me humble. I wouldn't be very humble. I know that surprises you. She keeps me humble. She tells me when to shut up and when my head is getting too big, and if I notice something, or if I say something, or if I act in a certain way. She pulls me down. She knows the idiot I was when I was 6 years old, and she reminds me of that quite often when I need it. So for no other reason, just to keep you humble, right? Wives are so good at that, right, guys? When we start thinking good of ourselves, you know who I am? The best pumpkin carver in the country. Go mow the lawn, you moron. You don't know. She won't even let me do that because I do that wrong. So now she mows the lawn. If only you could mow the lawn like you carve pumpkins, you idiot. You know, this is my life. I'm just kidding. She never calls me an idiot. Not to my face. So, but what we see here is God said, okay, this is man. And then He says, you know what? Everything that I created around man is not good enough. He needed to create another person that would be suitable for man. So everything that man was lacking was fulfilled in the creation of women. And that's an amazing, beautiful thing. It's an amazing, beautiful thing. He did not create women to be the spiritual leaders of the home. That was the purpose of man. And this scripture goes on in Timothy to talk about that the women were deceived. So Adam did a really poor job relaying the information to Eve about what God wanted and what we were not to do in the garden with the knowledge of the tree and the knowledge of good and evil. He did a poor job, and the woman was deceived, and because of that, men are intended to be the spiritual leaders of the home. That's just the way it is. Women aren't meant to be that. Just the same as men are not meant to be nurturing caregivers. We're bad at that. I am really bad at that. I don't relate to babies. I know there's babies here. They're cute, but they leak things, and they're not interesting to me. I don't know how to nurture and take care of them. I don't want to. I'm not good at that. I look at the women in this church, and we have an incredible group of women in this church. The women in this church, they hold each other accountable in ways us guys can't do. Us guys are idiots. We don't do anything. The women have these groups. They're constantly doing things, and they're constantly holding each other accountable and getting together, and they get stuff done. They're very organized. I think women tend to be more organized. They have better initiative than men, especially in a church situation. They express love and empathy and compassion in ways that men cannot. They're great at that. So let's not try to be what we're not and embrace what we are. Why is this subject so taboo? It's such a terrifying subject. And I think a lot of that just comes from who we are as Americans, which I'll get into. But most of it is we just kind of all want to be the boss. We don't want to be in charge, but we want to be the boss. I have a situation. I'm doing another TV show. And I got cast by the Food Network, Discovery Plus, to do Halloween Wars again. And it's a team effort. And I'm still not sure if I'm doing that, because after I was cast for that show and selected for that show, I got a call from the production company of the show that I was on last year, which is Outrageous Pumpkins, the show that I won. And they said to me, "Are you available in November?" And I said, "Yeah, I can be." They said, "Well, we want to do an all-star show. So if you're available, we're going to do an all-star show and have the winners of all the first four seasons come with some other personalities, and we're going to have an all-star big thing, and we're just waiting on approval from Discovery Plus." So I said, "Okay, great, but I'm also waiting to hear from Halloween Wars. How's that going to work? Will you let me do two shows the same season, the same night? I'll be on from 9 o'clock to 11. They said, "Well, we're going to check into that." So meanwhile, I'm thinking, all right, if I have to choose, I'm definitely doing Outrageous Pumpkins All-Stars, because then I don't have to work with teammates. I don't want to do Halloween Wars because I don't want to be on a team. And if I am on a team, I have to be in charge. So I email the production. Here I am, right? This is this week, by the way, as I'm talking about. We can't all be the charge. And I'm emailing Food Network saying, "Hey, if I'm going to be a teammate, I'm going to be the boss, okay? So if I'm going to be on a team with two other people, because I know you're going to sabotage me, you're going to put me with two morons and try to make me look stupid, so I have to be in charge." That's just kind of our nature. We love to be the boss, right? They haven't told me yes or no. They'll probably say no just because I asked. But we have a tendency to always want to be the boss and be in charge. But there's a lot of efficacy in the playing the side role, or the submissive role, or the servant's role, having a servant's heart. And Scripture talks about that. One of the reasons this is so taboo is, well, the result of this is that men aren't stepping up, and women that are educated in seminary and Scripture are stepping in. This is why you're seeing a lot of female pastors. It isn't like this big push for feminism, that we're going to become preachers just because the New Testament says we can't. That's not why it's happening. It's the fault of men. Men aren't stepping up to be spiritual leaders. So women are getting educated in Scripture, and they're stepping in and filling that role. God bless them. But shame on us for not being the spiritual leaders. God made them to do extraordinary things, but being the spiritual leader of the home isn't one of them, or the church. But it's happening because men aren't stepping up. And let's be honest, who wants that job? Who wants that job? Really? That's why they say, who's being called to the ministry? Because nobody's fighting resumes to get out and be a pastor, right? That's why we say, when someone's here, they're called here. Well, they're called here because they're not beating down the door to come in, right? They're called by the Spirit. You know, that's not really the true reason, but you can understand that, right? It doesn't pay well. There's a lot of responsibility. You got to deal with people, right? I mean, we have the easy part. We get to stand up here and preach, but I don't have to listen to anybody. You just send them to Don. So men aren't stepping up, and women are stepping in. Another reason that this is such a taboo subject is we don't like being told we can't do something. We hate being told we can't be something. And I think a lot of this is just American culture. This is who we are as Americans. We do not like that at all, any Americans. I think that comes from our DNA all the way back to when we left Europe and came here. It was like we didn't want to fit that mold. We were looking for our own freedom. We're free thinkers. We have to be the first at everything, first on the moon, first to invent the car, first industrialized. That's just the American way. It was kind of funny. I had a guy that worked for me. He's actually my uncle. His daughter went to NYU. And she was studying theater and film. And there were a bunch of students from the UK in her class. And there was an assignment put out to them. And everybody was, and it was like the professor put this assignment out, and all the American kids are just fighting with each other to get the best, make the very best answers and the best, the product and the outcome. And it wasn't a group, it was an individual thing, but you had to come up with this concept. And the British kids were trying to work together to figure out the best thing. And when they tried to work with the American kids were like, stop looking at my paper, figure it out yourself. You know, and it was really funny because one of the British kids said to my niece, she said, you Americans don't really work together to resolve something. You're all fighting with each other to get to that answer because you all have to be the best where we're trying to work together. And I was like, that's kind of exactly why we're here. We are always striving for more, right? And we're kind of individualistic in that way. As Americans, from a cultural standpoint, we don't like being told we can't be something. That's why we have men winning women's sports now. I can be a woman. I can have a baby. It hasn't happened yet, but we don't like being told you can't do something. People are changing their gender, they're changing their identity, they're changing everything because they can, right? How dare you tell me I can't do something? Everyone wants to be the boss, but not necessarily in charge, because with that comes responsibility and expectation. But if you look at history, we remember the failures of the great leaders as much as we remember the accomplishments. We seek power, but true success in civilization, community, and family happens when we accept our different roles and different levels of responsibility. That's when we come together and make things work, when we accept those roles, right? We become a servant. We serve each other. My family, we're big basketball fans. We love college basketball, March Madness. We love that time of year. And we watch NBA, but mostly just the finals and the conference finals. I hate how political the NBA's become, but we love the talent. Adam was a good basketball player in school, so we tend to watch, and we like our certain players. And I've always told Adam, you know, some of my very favorite players in NBA history were those guys like Scottie Pippen. And if you remember the 90s Bulls run, it was everybody knows who Michael Jordan is, but not everybody knows who Scottie Pippen is. Scottie Pippen was there for all 6 rings. He was probably the second best player in the whole NBA, but he was on the same team as the best player in the world. So he was always the second best guy. He was never really looked at that way. But guess what? He got 6 rings just like Michael Jordan did. Klay Thompson, who's the second best shooter to ever live, second only to his teammate Steph Curry. Everybody knows who Steph Curry is. Not many people know who Klay Thompson is. Probably the best streaky shooter in all of history. But he has 4 rings right alongside Steph Curry because Scottie Pippen and Klay Thompson played that passive role and they accepted the responsibility of that. Okay? They served the team and they served the leader of the team. The leader himself serves because that's what Christ did. Christ served. We're going to get into that. But and then you compare that to the 21-22 Lakers who had 4 first ballot Hall of Famers on the team and everyone said they were going to be a shoo-in. But it was too many Chiefs and not enough Indians, right? Was that term? It's probably politically incorrect now. I don't care. But it was they had 4 first ballot Hall of Famers starting on that team and they lost half their games and didn't even make the playoffs because nobody wanted to accept that role as being the number 2 passive guy. Everyone had to be the chief. When you look at the way God created the hierarchy of mankind, when we work together, and when we help each other fill those gaps, that's when we're most successful. Instead of striving to be what you're not, stay content in being what others cannot be. Instead of striving to be what you are not, stay content in being what others cannot be. And if we look at what Christ did, look at the work of Christ. It wasn't about authority. It was about love, peace, harmony, and service. He had a servant's heart. Remember when he washed the feet of the disciples? John 13. He's washing the feet of the disciples, showing that he's there to serve them and to love them. And Peter, it was Peter, said, "You shouldn't wash my feet. I should wash your feet." Jesus said, No, this is my job. I'm serving you. I'm going to wash your feet. The story of the Good Samaritan. That's about service, right? That's about serving. Jesus tells that story. Look at Romans. Let's take a look at Romans 12. You don't have to turn there. I will. What this says to us about service to each other and filling those roles. And I didn't write down the verse. It's just in Romans 12. That was smart of me. Good job. All right, we'll jump over to Peter. I'll skip that one because I don't have time to. Let's go to 1 Peter 4. Let's see what that says. 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. I love how that starts. As each of you has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards. All right, we all have a role and a responsibility. Accept that. I think women have a tendency to serve better than men. They're better at that because men just have this way about us that we constantly want to be in charge. Not all of us, but most of us have that in us. Scripture also tells us that we need to be the hands and feet of Christ, right? Be the hands and feet of. If we're all the hands, we're not going to get anywhere. If we're all the feet, we're going to get everywhere, but we're not going to do anything. We need to be the hands and feet of Christ. We all have responsibilities. That's how you get things done. So my message to you is to humble yourself and let God use you. And this scripture in Timothy is not meant to be derogatory or misogynistic. I agree with you. It is written in a cultural sense to not sound very good. Okay, I get that. I get that. But what Paul's really saying here is that when you look at scripture, when you look at Genesis, when you look at the purpose of the creation of man and women, he created a man. And then he saw what needed to be finished in the man, and he created a woman to help with that. And the woman completes the parts of the man. Women think more emotionally, which is a great thing, okay? Men tend to think more logically, which is a great thing. There's a great book out there called Men Are Like Waffles, Women Are Like Spaghetti. Anybody ever read that book? And it looks at it from a scriptural standpoint and how men tend to compartmentalize our thoughts. And when we get stuck in an area, and women's mind, that's our mind. They're like waffles, right? And women's minds are more like spaghetti, where everything's intertwined. You ever see a woman multitask? Jen does this stuff, and it just blows my mind. She'll have a conversation with me. Sometimes it's way too early, too. Oh, man. I mean, I'm having my first cup of coffee, and I can barely even think about what I have to do that day. And she's just, bah, 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 bah. And she's giving me instructions. Love you, Johnny. She's giving me instructions on there's 19 different things that she's telling me, and some of them are big picture stuff, and some of them are things I have to remember to do in 17 weeks from now. Some are in 7 minutes from now. And it's all intertwined, and what she's doing, and the dogs, and this, and Adam, and make sure you text Macy, because she did. And I'm just like, oh, can you give me another cup of coffee before we... And that's just the way my mind works. I'm like a dinosaur. Everything is slow and compartmentalized and methodical. And her mind is just going... But that, if I didn't have that, I'd be completely lost. When she's gone, I'm miserable. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm like a little kid lost in Kmart. I just stand around the house. Was I supposed to feed something? Do we have something to feed? there's dogs, there's a gerbil or something upstairs that's the daughter's that she always leaves. I never know it's there. Am I supposed to feed this? Am I supposed to get... Do we need milk? Are we drinking milk now? Are we doing keto? Am I supposed to get... And I'm texting, what do I have to do today? She's like, you got this. You go do this, make sure you pick up the Walmart order, go to physical therapy. Blah, 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 blah. Thank you. Now I can function. And she's really, really good at that. She fills those gaps in my mind. Now it's she won't let me mow the lawn either, which is I'm just so sad about it because I just love to mow the lawn. She mows an acre of lawn on the side of a hill with a push mower every day. About she loves it, refuses to let me do it. Just go draw pictures, honey. Fine, okay. But it's amazing how God put us together and said, okay, everything you're lacking here and everything you're lacking here, I'm going to put you together and you guys are going to figure it out. That's what God did. That's what God wants for us. So whenever you read scripture that restricts you based on your gender, it's not a misogynistic, purely cultural thing. There's a reason behind it. And sometimes God has to wake us up and say, listen, you have a role here and it's to do this and this and this. And accept that. Accept that. Instead of striving to be what you're not, stay content in being what others cannot be. Let's close in scripture. Let's close in the Word of God. Close in prayer. Father, thank you for this day. I thank you for your scripture. And Lord, help us to be humble, and especially me. Help me to understand my limitations and what I can and can't do. And I thank you for the people that you've put in my life that show me my weaknesses as much as you don't want them revealed. And the people you surround me with that fill those gaps in my life that are there as a result of my inadequacies, Lord. I just thank you for that. I thank you for my wife, my family. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. Lord, where would we be without the conviction of the Holy Spirit? Where would we be? I just want to thank you for this day and all who came out, Lord. Give us safety as we part. Give safety to those that are traveling or home or people that are ill. Be with us now as we close out, Lord. And again, we thank you for your scripture. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.